This episode of Overserved was taped prior to the COVID-19 pandemic that changed not only the world of food and drink that we cover on this podcast, but the world in general. It's our aim to return with new episodes as soon as possible, but in the meantime, we urge you to check out the social accounts for your favorite bars and restaurants. A lot of places have put together virtual tip jars for their employees, and it's our hope that you can throw your favorite spot some cash during a critical time in the hospitality industry. We hope you and yours are staying healthy and safe. Feel free to go back and listen to season one of Overserved to get caught up. And now, on with the show.
Welcome back to Overserved, everybody. I am Ari Bendersky, and I'm here with my good friend and amazing co-host,
Maggie Hennessy.
Hi, Maurice.
Hi. It's so, so good long. To be back with you.
It feels wonderful. So like in the past, we take a deep dive with the people behind Chicago's thriving culinary scene. Most weeks we invite on guests, a chef, a sommelier, a restaurateur, a farmer, or another one of the fabulous people who plies with all the food and drink that we love to enjoy to learn more about their story, who they are, why they got into this crazy food world, and what makes them tick. This week, we are so excited because we have one of the most creative pastry minds of our time and Chicago's original cannabis chef in the hot seat today. Yes, we have Mindy Siegel here with us today.
Woo!
Yay!
Yay me!
But first, we need to thank our new sponsor. Overserved is brought to you in partnership with Project, a Chicago-based agency focusing on experiential marketing, sponsorship consulting, and developing proprietary events. And we are very excited to be a part of their team.
Yes, we are.
So,
season two. Ooh.
Season two.
How you feeling?
You guys.
It's so good to be back.
I mean, we've been off for like three plus months.
Three months, yeah.
It's been a long time, and it's super exciting to be here.
I'm really happy to see your little faces across from me and next to me again.
Same. And a lot of people out there, I know that you guys are very excited to have us back. We've missed you as much as you've missed us. Before we get into the conversation with Mindy, I want to talk to Maggie about what you cooked recently.
Oh my God, get ready. So turns out I just had a physical and I am super low on B12.
Ooh, interesting.
Apparently I don't eat enough meat.
Interesting.
Anyway, so this recipe was very much in line with like my recent determination to get my B12 back up. I did Cajun ribeye with Cajun butter. Get ready.
So, like double dose of Cajun?
Gird your loins. This is a big one.
Okay.
So you get like two huge ass. This is a recipe from Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Apparently Duncan Keith really likes to eat it. Mm. So it's like some
real. Well, if he likes it, then I'm going to like
it. Yeah,
I mean, that's what I was told in the intro, so I was very excited. But so you basically.
He doesn't have any teeth, though. He can't chew.
I'm not sure. Maybe
he probably has. Hockey players have like the fake teeth.
He does.
And maybe he just gums it and then swallows it. Who knows?
Can you imagine chewing on that chewy ribeye and having your teeth fall out? What do you do?
Oh my God!
Like what?
You
do
probably
you
just
do?
Swallow your teeth a lot if you're done. Yeah. Like
I mean, I don't know.
It's like really.
I don't know why that came up in my
anyway.
Sorry.
I have a lot of dreams about my teeth falling out, so I'm. With
oh, that's
you on
a that. Significant.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And crumbling. But anyway, so you take what you do is you get. Giant bone-in ribeye. You poke some holes in it with a fork. You make a homemade Cajun spice, or you buy some, but making it homemade is worth it. Like white pepper, black pepper, red pepper flakes, dried basil, dried thyme, paprika, garlic powder. So you basically sneeze for the entire day after you mix this.
Yeah, totally.
There's just a sneeze in your nose like until nighttime.
It's the worst feeling.
But so you poke holes in the ribeye, like not totally through, maybe just like a quarter of an inch in. Coated in this spice, then you chop up a bunch of onions, you lay the ribeye on top, you put more onions on top of that, douse the whole thing in oil, cover it in Cajun spice, let it hang out for 48 hours. Fire up the grill, sear it super hot, finish it on lower heat, over lower heat, like indirect. It is so good. And then you make a Cajun, you make a butter with the rest of the spice. You just melt butter, pour a bunch of Cajun spice in there. And then when the steak comes off the grill, just drizzle that shit over it.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy.
So how spicy is it?
It's super spicy. Yeah.
And then do you put ketchup on it?
Yes.
Sorry, I just had to say that.
You have to. No.
I mean,
are y'all serious?
No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I like
to say when you buy a beautiful cut of meat.
Yeah.
And I always say, make sure you put a lot of ketchup on it.
Just douse it.
People
in
like,
ketchup.
Wait, if Mindy Siegel says it.
Right, because you know some person, we're going to see a trend piece on it.
Oh my God.
The hottest trend in Chicago, ketchup on steak.
Use your power for good, not evil, Mindy.
I know.
For good.
I promise.
Not evil.
I will. It's not evil. No, but it's just inappropriate.
Yeah, it's just like a little.
That sounds delicious.
It was delicious. So and we ate, like, the best part was because I had to test it for, it was, this is for Chicago Mag. So we just like ate it on a Monday night, like a regular.
Steak night during the week.
It makes you feel like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Did you pass out right afterward?
No. We had a little, we had this Portuguese wine that we had gotten, and I think I got some in the mail, and I was like, let's open this. Let's have a little Portuguese wine and some like serious steak.
From a blend of like five different Portuguese grapes.
Could be. Pronounce.
What was for dessert? Don't say nothing.
No, we had dessert. We had, okay, so the mister has been getting back into Ben and Jerry's. There's a cinnamon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's cinnamon snickerdoodle.
Cinnamon bun.
Oh, cinnamon bun.
It's
yes.
so good.
It's snickerdoodle's
so
good too.
Good. And so it's we so had a scoop of pistachio gelato and a scoop of cinnamon bun. And life was pretty good. It was like, it was a good, yeah, that was a weird combo, but I got it. I like to have two ice creams side by side.
Yeah.
Even if they don't really go. Same. Something about it. So we were really living high for a, living large for a Monday.
Do you want to know what the best combination of ice cream side by side together is?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to blow your mind, okay? Peanut butter cookie dough ice cream next to strawberry jam ice cream.
Yep, done. Sign me in. Peanut butter and jelly, I'm in.
Yeah, right?
When I go to Scooters on, where's that?
Yeah.
Belmont?
Palina.
Yeah, Palina, you're right.
It's on both.
It is. That's my go-to, the PB&J. They just opened for the season too, so I'm really hyped about it.
Already?
PB&J, yeah, isn't that crazy?
We switched to Lickety Split because it's up close to us.
What's Lickety Split?
It's
I know where it is. It's on Clark.
On Broadway.
Right, Broadway?
There's two. I think there's one on Clark also.
Whatever.
Okay, yeah, speaking of now open, one thing we do have to talk about before we introduce Mindy.
So there is this one thing that you may have heard going around the world. It's a
virus. You may be sanitizing every single surface of your house every 10 minutes, like Ari.
We need to be clear, though. wait, real quick. We need to be clear because the coronavirus in and of itself is a thing. It's not the thing that's actually it.
Right, COVID-19.
Right, because like the flu is a coronavirus.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a type of thing.
Yes.
Got it, okay.
And so COVID-19, which doesn't sound as sexy when you write it out on a headline.
And it doesn't tarnish the brand of Corona. Certain beer.
It does sound a little like Covif, though. But anyway, the one thing we do want to do plug is our beautiful, lovely Chinatown, which recently businesses there have been reporting losses of like 50% to 80%, just
and that's
staggering.
Around the country.
Yeah, so, it is. It's every city.
Isn't it crazy?
It's crazy.
It's crazy the way people react to over sensationalism in our
press.
I know. And can you imagine if that energy were in paranoia were put towards something like, I don't know, climate change. Like, look how much we can mobilize.
Also, like, don't be racist.
Also, exactly. Don't be racist.
And that's so hard. But can we just, so hard to do.
Can we quickly go around and everybody say a place in Chinatown you love? Or one or two. Or if you can't think of one, but got to go and eat. The food's incredible. MCCB, Ming Hin.
Jian, I don't know the full title of it. The Lao family.
Little Three Happiness.
Little Three Happiness.
The best.
QXY.
QXY. Thank you. Took it out of my mouth.
Sorry. I'm
Go for you. Food. Go for food is fire.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And
The string. Like string.
String.
And, ramen. And then the other ramen place where the guy Clutch Cargo used to do the noodles, but then he opened up his own place.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know the name of that place, but
our point is that there's a lot of great restaurants down there, and also up on Argyle, which is more Vietnamese, but it's a mix of a lot of different Asian restaurants up there. So go to both and support the businesses. And if you're taking the stance that like, oh, this started in China, so I shouldn't go to Chinatown and
that's
I can't eat Chinese
food.
There's also a hot spot in Italy, so that's saying that you shouldn't go out to Italian restaurants either, but that's ridiculous. So go support all of our restaurants in Chicago and go out to eat.
So now that we've been talking to her for
just wash your hands
a good 5 or 10 minutes, let's introduce her properly.
Who is this her you're talking about?
I like it. It's a mystery voice.
It's a mystery voice just on the air.
I heard you say my name.
I did.
So
several times.
I have to say this. Mindy fucking Siegel is in the hot seat today. She is an award-winning chef, author, owner of Chicago's celebrated hot chocolate restaurant and bakery. From a very young age, she loved everything about food. It was lucky enough to turn her passion into a career, opening Hot Chocolate in 2005 after years working in some of Chicago's finest restaurants, Ambria, Charlie Trotter's, Marche, and MK. In 2012, Mindy was finally awarded the prestigious James Beard.
After how many times?
It was my sixth time. We'll get into that. James Beard Foundation Award for Outstanding Pastry Chef. 2015, she published a best-selling cookbook titled Cookie Love, which is outstanding. Following year, Mindy became Chicago's original cannabis chef. Woo-hoo! After launching Mindy's Edibles, a line of chef-driven, precisely dosed, decadently delicious artisanal edibles in partnership with cannabis cultivar Cresco Labs. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I was going to say that five times.
Oh my God. She's an icon in our industry, featured on the Today Show, Food Network, in Food and Wine, Bon Appetit magazine, among over 600 other publications. Mindy Siegel, welcome to Overserve.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm tired now.
Yeah, dang.
She's a big deal.
You're a big deal.
I've done a good job.
You really have.
Yeah, you have.
People like me.
They do. They really
like
me.
I'm special.
Like
I'm somebody. I am somebody. People like me.
And gosh darn it, I'm worth it.
Gosh darn it. So we're going to start way back. Where did you grow up? What was your relationship with cooking and baking like as a young person, which Ari apparently...
Ari's going to say the answer.
Mindy and I grew up in the same town.
Oh
yeah, but
God.
I'm older than you.
Not really.
Not
yes,
much.
Yes, I am.
You're 3-4 years old.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, I'm turning 49.
Were we in... But we weren't in high school at the same time. 89?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
We're good. In high school?
Yeah.
That was college.
1985.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I graduated in 89, and you were definitely not in my class.
Wow.
Wow.
It's all just a big blur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm from Highland Park.
Highland Park.
Born and raised.
The Highland Park Food Mafia.
Am I?
Yeah, there's a little cabal of y'all.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
is there?
Tons. Todd Stein, David Morton.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Right.
From Highland Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people. Jason Goldsmith.
All the Mortons.
All the Mortons. Yeah.
So what was your...
Jason Goldsmith, right.
No,
yes.
We're not talking about them today. Yeah, we're talking about you.
Well, let's talk about me.
So what was your relationship with cooking, baking, food as a young person? Was it like a big deal in your house? What was kind of...
I didn't come from a long lineage of culinarians, mm-hmm. put it that way. But I did come from a family that insisted we all sit down for dinner at 6:30 every
That's
night,
nice.
And
that
have
is nice.
And have breakfast together, and do Sunday brunch. So we were a family of tradition.
Hmm.
And
Do you have siblings?
Huh?
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Older or younger?
And a half sister.
Okay.
My half sister.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just always really liked to eat together and to prepare square meals. So that's where I came from. That's my background. But I was a bad girl growing up, and I was grounded a lot.
What?
Yeah, I know. Are you shocked?
You're stunned.
You're like,
what?
Wow.
What?
You were bad?
You're
what?
An
yeah,
angel.
I'm an angel.
She's sitting here wearing a black leather vest.
Wow.
I love it.
I mean, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. It's all on the outside.
That's true.
On the inside, I'm a little...
Soft and gooey.
I'm like a little Jewish old grandmother. I my mother and father said, well, if you're grounded, you could work. So I used to work for, I don't know if you remember this, Youth Employment Service in Highland Park. It was a service that I could go to somebody's home and wash their dishes while they had a party.
So it was TaskRabbit before TaskRabbit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I did this a lot. And I started, because I was grounded all the time, and I started cooking with the people. And I... really liked it.
Yeah.
Do you remember, is there something that you, first of all, I want to know, what's the worst thing that you did that you got grounded for?
Oh man.
Or one of the worst.
Oh man. I mean, I didn't have my driver's license and my parents were out of town and all my girlfriends were over and we decided to go to 7-Eleven, which was up the street, and I decided to take the car.
Were you a Northwood kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where the 7-Eleven was up there?
Yeah.
And so I took the car with all my friends in it and I backed out of the parking lot and I hit a car.
Oh shit.
Oh man.
And when my parents came home from out of town, I had to tell them what I did.
Yep.
Oh man.
There's no hiding that.
No.
No.
That was the worst when you have to tell.
It was awful.
It was a park car?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because how are you going to pull that off? Oh, somebody hit you in the driveway?
But I didn't have my license.
Did you have a permit?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, probably. Oof. Oh, God, was I in trouble.
Yeah.
That's the one I will say in this microphone. I will not tell you what I've done. in my life. Because most of the time, it was me going to Neo or to Wild Hair or Exit or something. Yeah. And my mom was like, you have to be home at this time. And I would come home 4 hours later. Because I could never come home when they wanted me to come home, which is ironic because I'm always on time now. That is doesn't make any sense because I just, yeah.
You just couldn't stop dancing.
That's, and I used to write my parents notes that said, I'm really sorry I was late. I'm okay. I was just having so much fun. I was dancing. The music was great. I was having a good time. It made me happy. I wasn't sad. So, right. You know, I tried to like turn it on. That, yeah. That feel this. Guilty.
I'm sorry for stressing you out all those.
But your child
hours.
Is fulfilled through dance.
Through dance. I just need to express myself. Oh my God. I just got to dance.
Your parents yeah. Are like, oh, okay. If you were dancing, then it's all good.
Well, they yeah. Were, you know, my parents were actually dancers.
Oh.
Latin dancers.
Okay,
oh
so they were.
God.
So they used to compete. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I came from a, and my father was a musician, my brother's a musician. So we all, I came from a music and creative background.
Very fun.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you started cooking with the people who hired you.
Yeah, so I just, I started cooking and I really liked it. And I,
Was there a significant dish or menu item that you prepared that you were like, oh, this I like this a lot. I can do this.
Roast chicken.
Oh, that's like a tough thing to master too. I mean, to me, like
yeah,
to get
roast chicken.
Really right.
Uh huh. I put the herbed butter under the skin.
Oh, there you go.
In the '80s.
Oh, that is.
Influencer.
Yeah, right.
You were ahead of the game.
No, I think it was just because Martha Stewart told me to.
Shout
do
out
it.
To her.
I mean, yeah. I love Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Martha Stewart, the best.
She's the best.
And also Julia Child. Me. Yeah.
It's so gratifying to make a thing, especially a big thing, and have it come out and be good.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, and baby vegetables.
Oh.
Like cooking baby vegetables was pretty cool. Baby carrots and.
Baby corn.
Not baby corn.
Baby corn.
And big. That's like my favorite scene.
I have a friend who's legit afraid of baby corn.
But I can understand that. It is scary.
It is.
Because it's like, what is it?
It
exactly.
Is.
It's not baby corn. Is it corn? What is it?
I don't know.
Do we
actually
need to
find
know
out.
What it's made out
someone
of?
Someone should Google it.
What is it actually
what
made?
Is baby corn?
We're Googling baby corn.
What's the vet? What is it a
season
vegetable?
Season 2 of Overstar.
Is it a, you know.
What? It is a vet. Is it a. Plant.
It's a vegetable for sure.
It tastes like a vegetable.
Oh, here we go.
Cereal grain taken from corn, harvested early while the stalks are still small and immature.
And then what do they do with it?
So it's eaten whole.
So it is a corn.
It is a corn. It's like yes. So it's not like made into that shape.
It is just baby corn.
I just can't believe it. I felt like we were being lied to all this
but
time.
But it's... I mean, who does the scene in Big when
yeah. He when he yeah. Eats the Chinese? Yeah. Do you? So they must always just like it's like a water chestnut. It's like almost always just like put in
like a liquid
pickled
like
sort
a brine.
Of yeah
right. Yeah.
Because what is it like if you just eat it regular? What's
it's probably
texture?
Hard.
Yeah,
hard,
it's probably
like a stalk.
Ugh.
Gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you went to Kendall. I went to Kendall.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I went. I was one of the first classes to graduate.
Really?
The 10th class.
And then you went from there, I mean, you went into some pretty serious kitchens.
I was the assistant pastry chef at Ambria.
Was wow. That your first job out of school?
No. Out of school, yeah.
Okay.
Out of school, yeah.
Where did you work before?
I worked at my first job on the line, because I cooked, was at a restaurant called Saint-Tropez.
In Chicago?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm not, oh, yeah, you guys don't know. Okay. Yeah. Guy Petit was the chef.
Okay.
So cool. Loved it. I was the only girl on the line.
Oh.
I have to say.
What was that like? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even, like, I can't even tell you. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was sexual harassment was flying high.
My God. Yeah.
But I feel like you probably experienced that a lot in your early career.
No.
Just
that.
But really? Then there, how did you respond? Did you sort of just sort of shrink away? Were you like, fuck you? Like,
no,
how
no.
Did you
I,
deal with
I
it?
Succumbed to it.
Did
I
you?
Was an idiot. Yeah.
But like.
But that taught me, first of all, it taught me that I wanted to go into pastry.
Oh, that
because
was.
Because I would be on the line with these dudes, you know, and they were like, you know, sexually harassing me. And there was this wonderful pastry chef in the corner listening to her music, dipping strawberries in like apricot glaze, putting it on a cake.
It was like, there was like a little
remember
light,
the times,
like,
yeah. Remember the times, it was the 80s.
There was like a halo around her, like, oh,
yeah, and
come
I was like, you know,
here.
I don't want to, I want to be left alone.
Oh, wow.
Somebody left alone. So I. That's, so that was how that you was were one left of the alone. Reasons why I went into pastry.
So really, because it like pastry at the time was a safe space.
It's pretty much, but also, I mean, there were other reasons I was good at it.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
It's always a good reason to do something.
How I found my niche early on, guys, I don't know. I was blessed.
That's
was
lucky.
It, like, it was the one break that the woman upstairs gave me.
Totally. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah,
You gotta appreciate those because you know that they're...
Because definitely, God is a woman.
God is a woman. That's right. Yeah, I'm with that.
I mean for sure.
No question.
That must be true.
I heard she cut her hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Wait, God did? No.
That's like that CBS show. It's like, God friended me. It's like, God gets a haircut.
Oh, God, I almost yanked my head.
Starring Christian Slater.
Don't make me throw my head back with laughter. I'll knock these headphones off my
Please
head.
Please don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Okay, so then for you, though, to have this sort of epiphany, but to me, one of the things that I've always liked about the way you approach pastry is it's very bold. Were you like that from the beginning? Were you kind of following the rules and then you figure out how to break them, or were you...
I think I came out of the womb like that. Yeah. I think I came out of the womb a little different. You know, I was always that way.
Yeah.
I always... What is it? I always dance to a different beat. What's the term?
You dance to the beat of a different drum.
Different
Thank
drum.
You. Thank you. I definitely did. And there was definitely a drum involved because I love beats and I love
and
dancing.
Your parents were dancers. And,
so yeah. Well, I love dancing. I'm really into dancing.
Yeah.
So I, yeah.
I'm hyped up about it.
Yeah.
And you want to get
it. I'm like, let's dance right now.
Yeah. I love dancing.
Awesome.
What's your favorite genre of music?
Well,
if you have one,
I'll tell you, I think if we go through stages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the past year, I've been in R&B and hip hop stage. Big time, big time. Because I never was, really. I'm a late bloomer on the hip-hop scene because I'm a rock and roll girl and heavy metal girl. Yeah. And so I just, and like industrial music, so I like crossed over. You know how I crossed over?
Wow.
SoulCycle. Plug.
Oh my God.
She is part of the cult.
I'm a leader in the cult. Yeah, oh yeah. And I just love hip-hop and I love R&B.
Who have you gravitated toward?
Well, Raphael Sadiq.
Icon.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, oh God.
He was just at
I saw
Winery,
him.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, you were no, there. He wasn't at Sydney Winery, he was at the Vic.
Yep.
And I saw the show. It was great. Yeah. Yeah, loved it. Loved everything about it. I love Leon Bridges. Mm. I love, love Drake.
And everybody loves
I will
Drake.
Tell you, no, but I will tell you
yeah.
who I will never kick out of my bed.
Drake.
Miguel.
Miguel.
I just saw him perform. It's crazy.
Where?
During All-Star Weekend.
Oh. No, he was here.
He did a private thing. It was crazy.
God. Yeah.
I've never seen him live before. And I was like, I listened to his music, but like, I'm not casually like cleaning the house to Miguel.
I am.
You.
I am.
Okay.
He
is. It's too sexy.
So,
I can't
be. Oh, I know.
I just cannot.
But he killed it. I was like, okay.
Where'd you see him? Tell me everything. I want to know. Where did you see him?
What happened that night, Ernest? When you saw Miguel?
Wait. What are you talking about?
Oh,
all right, what happened? It's story time, friend.
Oh, my God.
This is the best story of all time.
Oh, God. I can't wait. I'm like, livid.
We might cut this.
No.
Okay, we're not. So I met Michael Jordan. And this Miguel performance was at his birthday party.
How did you get invited to this? And why? And why didn't you tell me about it? And why didn't I go with you?
I just met you. I don't know. Well, next time you got to come.
Were you dying? Were you shitting in your pants?
Yes.
Tell me everything.
Okay.
So how? Everything.
This is the quickest
from the beginning.
Story. Okay. So I did some work with Jordan Brand and I was invited to the party. And so I went to the party and I was super excited.
Where was it?
It was at CineSpace.
Where's
down
that?
There in Pilsen.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually Pilsen. It might be Bridgeport. But it was crazy. I'll show you the pictures offline. But like, they had a Gatorade table. It was a table just of Gatorade. And I was like, this is the best party I've ever been to, right? Crazy amounts of drinks. And the food was fire. The appetizers were really good, which is rare. And then all of a sudden, I'm talking to a buddy. And I look to my right. Huh. And standing there with no security.
No.
Nobody else.
No.
Michael Jordan by himself. And it's his birthday
Tell
party.
Tell us what he's wearing.
He actually didn't wear like super baggy stuff. He had like a brownish, like mauve looking pant on, like a little shirt and a little hat. And it was cool because I met Charles Oakley was like standing next to him. And Charles Oakley, like if you know who Charles Oakley is, like absolute badass, like legendary NBA player, a man you would never want to fight. And so I was like, oh my God, like super excited. So I went up and I said, you know, what's up to Charles Oakley? He just looked at me, which perfect. And then I looked at Michael Jordan and this is what I said. Now, bear in mind, I need to be, I'm burying the lead a little bit. I had had a couple cocktails.
Also, can we just say, like, you have to say what you told me, you like, Ernest, if you had had time to dive into a closet and say, like, here's what I'm going to say. Because
oh,
he was, like, part of the reason you were.
I was born in 1985. Yep. I am a product of the 90s Bulls. I'm from Chicago. Like, this literally is probably, I would say, he is one of the people that inspired me culturally as far as a human being. Like, overall, just like, you, it's Mike. Like, there's no question. So
Instead of that,
instead of telling him how much he means to me and telling him how much I appreciate him and all of the joy and titles he's brought to my friends and family, I walk up to Michael Jordan, and the only time I'll probably ever talk to him, I looked him in the face and I said, hey, thanks for having me, man.
Isn't it the best?
What did he say?
He looked at me like I had three heads, gave me a little dap, and that was that. And I'll never see him again. So that's my story, meeting Michael Jordan.
Isn't you know what? Best? It's funny. When you see someone that you admire so much, you freeze.
Also, so, I was always the too cool for school person. Like, celebrities, whatever. Stars, they're just like us, right?
Yeah.
Nah. I was like,
did you see him do the tribute to Kobe?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wait, it gets crazier. So then after, this is the part I didn't say, and this is the part I'm nervous about podcasting, but I don't care. After that happens, right, he walks away. The emotions of the last 30 years, plus like the fact that I just met him, I start crying in the club.
Aww.
Not crying, like I'm not sobbing, but like, I had a little. Yeah. I was like, it was emotional.
Oh yeah,
it was like, holy shit!
I thought you said you were gonna shit in your pants or something.
Well, no, because like, it's the Gatorade.
Emotion.
I guess I wouldn't be able to have my fluids.
The Gatorade went through you just like a torpedo, and, yeah, and
so did the champagne. But I digress. So yeah, that's my story. Meeting Michael Jordan.
Oh, that's great. Isn't so that I have a similar story. Mm. Nico Case.
Let's go.
So years ago, I did a lot of work for Share Strengths, and I got invited to this thing in New York. It was Oprah Winfrey did a thing on something. Mm-hmm. She did. It was like a live thing. And
she does things.
And I was representing Share Strengths. So I was in the green room with all these people that were representing their charities because the next day we were doing this walk. So she walks in, and I didn't notice her at first, and we were all talking, and then when we were walking into the arena that she was talking in, they did it by charity, and so they called her charity, and then they called our charity, so I was standing next to her. Well, you know, I love Nico Case, and seen her 100 times in concert, and we have friends in common, so it's not like I'm a weirdo if I said hello to her.
Right.
She knows. She probably knows of me because I've met her. It was just weird. So I see her, and I all of a sudden notice that she's standing next to me. And instead of just going, hey, you know, your music's great. It's really nice to be standing next to you, you know, whatever. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, Tony Fitzpatrick. That's what I did.
Great.
It was.
Isn't it great?
And then I saw, she was like.
So you were the weirdo.
Oh, I was.
Oh, yeah.
I embarrassed myself. It was awful.
I think I'm going to take a page from the Mindy Siegel book. And it's really nice to be standing next to you. It's such a lovely thing to say.
Right.
If you had said that, that would have been pretty lovely.
I know. I'm such an I
could have, would have, should have.
You know, you ruin the moment. Every time. You ruin the moment.
Yeah. That's why I don't believe people when they're like, well, if I was there, I would have did X. Like,
no, you wouldn't have.
And you know what?
Your brain freezes.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
Care.
No, they don't no. care. They don't. And it's
because you know
this
what?
Is the 77th time this has happened today.
Well, and also probably you're like the only maybe the 30th weirdest thing that that happened to them that day.
100%. You know what I always mean? Say if anybody ever wants to like get a taste of being famous. So remember when you got married, if you got married, people who are married. And you remember how everybody just wouldn't leave you alone all day, even though you wanted them to.
Yeah.
And everywhere you went, it was like suddenly a receiving line.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fuck.
Now imagine doing that every single day for your entire life.
Right.
And in the case of some of these people, since they were 7 or 8 years old.
Well, my cousin got in an elevator alone with Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God. Was that recently?
I was in the
OMJ.
Yeah.
Bieber.
Was it recently?
It was. She was at the Soho House in Hollywood.
Okay.
And she gets on the airport. No, air. Why did I say that? Elevator. Did I say elevator? Yeah. Did I say elevator?
You said elevator.
Airplane.
She gets on the airport.
She gets on the. She gets in the airport with Justin Bieber, but he and he kind of like spoke to them a little bit, but it was not a big deal. But
he's like, "What's up, guys?"
No, but here's the thing. So they're narrowing down to like the floor one, and he has to put his hoodie on the way so no one sees him, so he can walk into his car. I mean, that's a life. Who wants to live that?
That sounds terrible.
It's awful.
He makes me kind of sad.
Yeah, we're digressing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we are.
Let's
okay.
get back to Mindy.
Let's get back to
Let's
Mindy.
Talk about me.
Let's talk about
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you find your niche.
Yeah.
You love pastry. So what was the first, was you said Umbria or?
Everest? Umbria was my first job, but when I was in culinary school, I was going to get a job at, and I don't remember the name of the, Mitchell Colby?
Was that a restaurant?
Catering?
I don't know.
I forgot the name of it. Years ago. You guys wouldn't remember. And he wanted me to make some desserts for him so he could try them. And I remember that I spent like basically a week making the stuff I wanted to make for him. But I remember that I didn't like the recipes, so I was making up my own recipes. I was in my 20s. And I remember thinking to myself, well, if I'm making up my own recipes, I might be good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to work on it for the rest of my life.
But is that then when you form in your mind, like, the path you can take? Was it always like, I'm going to open something of my own? Or was it just like, I want to do this?
I think I'm a person who thrives on the impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And I heard something last night. I don't know. Somebody important said this, that to be creative, you have to embrace change.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You have to be able to be comfortable with change, because being creative and being a leader in creativity, you have to constantly evolve. You have to constantly evolve yourself, your craft, your person, your beliefs, everything.
Yeah.
They have to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm a firm believer of that. I think I do that innately.
I got a lot of that when I went to see the David Bowie exhibit.
You did?
Yeah. I pictured him like doing Ziggy Stardust in his 60s and being like, fuck this, it's over for me. Like, I want
to do something else.
Yeah, right. But you get known for, and then you sort of get stuck in those boxes for people, because they appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, when people can appreciate your change
and
want to know what your change is going to be and are excited about it, that's when you know you're...
But it also makes you realize how hard it is, like, to really do that, like, to have the space to do that when, like, especially if you become known for something and then people want that same thing over and over, sort of comfy.
So, okay, so if you're somebody who you embrace the change, but what inspires you? Like, when you've hit, and as all creative people do, you hit a wall, and then you're like, I need something to, I need to step back, and I need to get that charge. Like, what in your life are the things that help you... rejuvenate creatively.
Nervous breakdowns.
How fun.
Yeah.
A good panic attack will get you.
That'll get you. Nervous clarity. The clarity after a good
panic. All my good change has happened through, like breaking down, feeling not worthy or feeling not good enough or feeling, like I'm bored. Yeah. I'm not being challenged. I mean, I guess. Those are when my great changes have occurred.
So when you went to open Hot Chocolate, were you at one of those points where you're like, I've had it, or was it just like, I want to do this, I'm doing this now?
There's another reason why change occurs, and that's because you feel it in your gut.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And I needed to, I just needed something. I needed to be the boss, for me.
Because you were at MK.
I was at MK for how long? MK for 6 years.
Wow.
And how long were you at Trotter before that?
Oh, I was at Trotter's for 5 seconds.
Oh, that's all.
I hated working there.
Oh, I thought you were there for a while.
No, I was there for 8 months. I absolutely hated the environment.
Was it just like toxic or?
The worst toxic, misogynistic, worst environment on the planet.
Wow.
And I'm going to openly talk about it because it was horrible. And I just don't understand why you have to work hard and be beat down yeah. every day that you come to work and you don't get paid anything.
Right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no way to treat people.
So how do you think that so many of the people who've come out of that kitchen have done as well as they have? And people who we know and have a ton of respect for, but also know personally, are really good, kind people. Like, how do you survive an environment like that and then go on to create a better space? Well, I guess yeah. I answer just, my own question.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Interview
thank,
over.
Yeah, thank you all here. For listening. We're done.
I mean, you know, you open up your own thing after you have experiences, you do things like that, and you say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be a better leader. I'm going to be a better boss. And then you open up your own place, and you are exactly like your old boss.
Yeah, because you're a total asshole. That's ingrained in you. You have to, like, probably unlearn.
You have to unlearn it.
Totally.
Yeah, you got to, like, you got to, what is it called? When you cleanse yourself.
Yeah.
Of bad.
Yeah.
Takes a while.
So how'd you do that when you opened Hot Chocolate?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I was bad.
For how long? Like, did you ever?
Long time.
Are you still an asshole?
No. I slowly and miraculously, what happens is that you begin to appreciate all the hard work that people do for you and around you. And hopefully you have this aha moment where you say, wow, I'm an asshole. I'm going to do better and I'm going to be better because I can evolve as a human as well as a pastry chef. So I think I had those moments.
What were some of the things, maybe can you give us like a specific or two of maybe a way that you shifted or something about the way the culture is at Hot Chocolate that sort of beats back that tendency? Because it is a high stress, long hours situation. Yeah.
Or is there anything consciously? I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I care very much. I don't know if it's a conscious thing. I just think as you get older, you become more, hopefully as you get older as a human being, you become a little reflective on your behavior and the actions that you've done. And you sort of self-reflect and you say to yourself, well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I want to be a leader, and I want to lead by example.
Yeah.
And if I lead by example, my staff will believe in me and believe in my voice, and they'll want to work for me.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky because I've had people that have, Rosie's worked for me for 20 years.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
You know, I've got longevity in my company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there outside forces that you turn to during that point when you realize what I don't like the way that I'm treating people? Like, do you therapy, meditation, exercise? I mean, I know you're a soul cycle person now, but like, were there those things at that point that you were like, I need some sort of assist to get me to the next level?
Let me think about that.
Your mom.
No. I'm so self-reflective. I'm so self-reflective by nature that I don't really need anything to help me. But I do have an enormous amount of friends and support in my life that check me. Well, both of my best friends. You know one of them.
Who?
Heather Schaus.
I do. I haven't seen her in a long time.
I just plugged her. my friends check me, so... I'm lucky.
Shout out to friends.
Yeah. Shout out to friends.
Shout out to Heather Schaus. If you need a living wall in your restaurant or at your home.
Bottle and Branch.
She's fantastic.
Bottle
she's
amazing. And Branch, baby.
She's awesome.
She's cool.
She's very cool.
Okay, so
she's actually cooler than me. That's why I'm friends with her.
Nobody's cooler than you.
No. She's 100% cooler than me.
I mean, a lot of people are cooler than you. Yep,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
It's good to be okay with that.
Yeah. It's very
I'm
good
okay with me.
I'm okay with me.
That took a long time to say.
Okay. I'm okay with me is a good transition into how many fucking times were you nominated for a James Beard Award before you won, and how much did that get to you?
And were you thinking about changing your name to Susan Lucci?
Well, I was nominated.
She's always relevant.
I was nominated 6 times. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that in the years that I was nominated, the Beard Awards were not a symbol of that you're okay. It was just an award. And it was a big deal, but it wasn't as big because social media wasn't huge.
It was like the Teen Choice Awards.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, great, all right. You got six of these. Sick. Yeah.
This is why I love Ernest, keeping it real, bringing in like the
But it's
points.
The truth. And, you know, like when you were on the long list, we didn't say congratulations, you were nominated for a Beard Award.
Oh my God.
No one even announced that they were on the long list. It was like sort of like a secret.
Yeah.
You know, so to be honest with you, when I got the award, it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I just felt like they felt sorry for me. But
even so, who cares? Take it.
I wasn't there the year I won.
Oh, where were you?
Because
it was in New York. Mm. I was at the restaurant because we were closed because I was redoing my restaurant, one of my nervous breakdown moments. Mm. I closed the restaurant for 2 weeks and redid it.
I remember that period.
And I was at the restaurant, and when they announced it, I didn't even know. And my staff was all like crazy and going crazy. And I you know, after the whole evening that we celebrated, we went to Scofflaw and it was packed and we all did, the entire bar did shots. So I was able to celebrate with Chicagoans, which was
That's awesome.
That's the best.
Yeah. But I was looking at my phone and Greg Hall was there and he called me and he recorded everybody screaming. And he goes, that is for you.
That is amazing. God.
That's awesome.
That's
lovely.
I mean...
That's incredible.
Dude.
I have chills right
cry.
Now.
Yeah, I know. I know. Body.
So that was awesome.
So what did that do for you, not only with your own confidence, but like your career? Did having a James Beard Award elevate you? And you, like, do you feel like it helped you?
So if you don't know me, I'll just explain one thing to you. I'm self-deprecating and I'm very humble. I don't really, as much as I say I'm Mindy fucking Siegel, I really don't have a big ego. So to me, it did nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And I always say that the more press and recognition you get, the more humble and hardworking you need to be, because you have to prove that you earned that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, can I just say a funny anecdote about that?
Please.
No.
So, no.
Sorry, moving on.
So you guys know Eric Williams, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. So... We worked together for years.
Chef owner of Virtue.
Also, you're the first guest in season two. Eric was the first guest in season one.
That's right.
He's awesome.
The best.
He's the best.
And he's having quite a year.
He's having quite a year. So I just want you to know that every time he gets press, I text him and I say, I give him like a saying. So the last one was keep your feet on the ground.
Mm.
Just keep your feet on the ground. Or I always say, don't forget where you came from. Or I'm like, you know, always be grateful. Because I want him to know that it doesn't mean anything. If you can't pay your bills and you don't have people in your restaurant,
yep.
Yeah.
And you're not in your restaurant,
right.
Doesn't matter.
That's a lesson in general for creatives.
Sorry.
I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, you got to keep working.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who got a lot of press who you don't see that much
anymore. Well, and the other thing is, too, if you become higher profile, that's more people coming
in.
And
platform.
And if you're not...
Put your people on.
Yeah, and if you're not consistently producing good shit... Then there's a bigger spotlight on you not doing good shit.
That's a key word, though, producing good shit. Because people keep producing.
Right.
They'll keep making stuff. Right. Like, oh, this worked. I'll do 17 versions of it. Right. And it's like, no, that's not
what they rest on their laurels as opposed to saying, like, what can I do next?
Exactly.
Which is what you then did.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, Hot Chocolate's been open for...
100 years.
150 years.
150 years.
It's amazing.
It was the day after Chicago was founded.
I was at the world... What is it? The world's...
Fair.
The world's fair.
It was you and Deuce Sable just hanging out.
Mindy invented the snickerdoodle back then.
You know how much of a flex that would be to be like, oh, I invented that cookie.
She could say that.
Yeah.
But you have. Like, what's your the things that you've created in your pastry life, what are you most proud of that you came up with?
I don't know.
Or are you like David Bowie and you're like, I'm over this. I'm moving on to the next.
I will tell you that what I'm most proud of is, and it's not necessarily a specific thing, but it's, I mean, obviously the edibles. So we can talk about that in a second. But if I make somebody happy and they tell me that they remember what they ate of mine, to me, that's ridiculous.
That's it. That's what it's all about.
So I don't know. You probably don't remember this, but I was talking about this the other day. Speaking of memorable meals, at your restaurant.
Yeah.
After our first dog died, we came to Hot Chocolate for lunch for a comforting meal because I needed that burger.
Yeah.
And I came in and it was like the best thing. So I mean, thank you for having that. It was amazing.
Crying.
Yeah. Well, that's. But I mean.
But yeah, that's yeah, but what you want. I mean, yeah. You want people to love your food. You don't want people to say. That was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go home and think about that.
Right.
I gotta Google what I just ate.
See, I'm good with that for like a movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I shouldn't have that with dinner.
With food.
No, dinner should be... Food is like soul. Yeah. Food is like... I mean, I'm a purist, so like I would say that. Like I think steak is great.
Yeah.
I think that burgers are great. Macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. chocolate chip cookies,
yeah.
peanut butter and
Amen.
Jelly. You know,
hallelujah.
Like yeah. I roast chicken.
Yep. Roast chicken.
I mean, to me, you know, that's just delicious.
It's simple too.
Simple.
Well, and I think it's also there. We have this interesting thing where when it's more than it becomes more than that in our minds or whatever, and then you go and eat, and the experience is like, I'm going to sit on your lap and I'm taking care of you and let's talk about all this. And it becomes like, let's shine a light on this and let me tell you what's in here. And then you go,
I got to tell you
mm-hmm.
my biggest pet peeve, and I am so over this shit. Don't tell me how to eat and don't tell me the water you serve in your restaurant. Don't tell me, don't explain the dish to me as if I don't know anything.
Or how to use a menu.
I am adult.
Yeah.
I can choose how I want to spend my money.
Yeah.
Don't fucking tell me. It is so... And it happens. It's like the new way
it's the way
of
it
dining.
Is. If you don't have that...
Have you dined with us before?
Oh my
well,
God.
Let me tell you about the menu. You want to start... We recommend 4 to 5 dishes for both of you because they're small plates and there's only 3 things on the dish and there's 4 people... In the party, and they don't tell you that the thing is only with 3 pieces.
Right.
So you have it's like, what do you have to duel?
Do you know what though? I
for
feel
the pieces?
You feel for the servers at the same time because I had a experience recently where the guy goes, "How you doing? How's everybody doing? Any allergies I need to know about? Okay, no sensitivities, great." And then he talked and he took our order, and then at the end he goes, "Any allergies or any restrictions?" And then he said it a third time. It was like he was kind of on autopilot,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Just like, well, fuck, I can't. Which is fair. Like that's a real thing.
Right.
You don't want to give someone something they're allergic to.
But
you could tell it was like, he's like, this is what we
but
do.
But I think that, and I can tell because I'm so, you know, here's another thing that somebody said to me the other day. They said, you don't pay attention to the obvious, but what you do pay attention to is the things that nobody else sees.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And
about
that
is you so,
specifically?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I'll walk in a room. I won't even notice who's in the room, but I'll notice the details of things that are inside the cracks of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am. I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's like
that's an amazing
highly
gift,
creative people do.
Yep.
I'm so absent-minded when it comes to real life.
Yeah.
But the detail, like I just
it's like almost savant-like.
I don't know what it is, but. You know, it's like, it's almost as if, because I know this how it is, it's like they train their people to be robotic.
Yes.
Instead of to think.
Yes.
Right? I just.
Or just have, or present
or just,
it emotionally.
Or just talk to people
it's
like they're
right.
human.
Yeah.
Human
don't
yeah.
say our policy. It's yeah. our policy.
Chef likes if you do.
Chef likes.
How about what I want to
do? How about
eat?
What I want to do? I'm paying for the fucking dinner.
Well, and I right. think that people sort of forget. It's like you're paying, like. You're paying for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like that was the beef I had with Fine Dining Forever.
Yes.
Like, why do I feel like I'm doing you a disservice by giving you money? Like, why am I here?
Why do I, and like, why do I feel stupid?
Right. Why are you making me feel stupid?
Yes.
And why are there rules?
Yes.
Who the fuck came up with rules in cooking?
At a restaurant.
And eating.
Yeah.
And dining.
Right.
And I'm paying you. What the?
The only rule of eating is keep your pants on.
Yeah. That's
right?
Like,
at a restaurant, keep your pants on.
Keep your pants on.
Unless you're at a naked restaurant. Which is just weird.
I'm that's probably not going to a naked restaurant.
Oh, no.
I'm not going
there
to
was that one in France.
London. Yes.
London.
There's one in France too, right?
Probably.
And it's like super dark in there.
Yeah.
And they just lead you through.
It's just weird.
They have it's actually a chain. It's Icy London, Icy France.
I don't see your underpants.
We're back.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
good.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, it's just my big, the small plate thing. I don't get them.
And another thing that drives me crazy is when the server, say it once, okay, fine. When you continually refer to yourself as part of my party, how are we doing? Are we all good? Are we
I can't happy? Stand the royal we. Like, no. You're royal not my we. Friend.
No.
Derek.
I really like when they, I like when they lean down and almost like put their head in my lap.
Oh.
And they're like, how are we? And I'm like, no. We're not.
2 feet back.
We're not right. intimate, man.
Yes. Back up 2 feet.
10 and 2, please.
See, that's why I think it's also a great, a future trend should be just ordering on your iPhone on an app from the restaurant.
Oh, my God. That's
well, then it's you're coming. Putting a whole bunch of people it's out of coming. Business, out of work.
I don't care.
But you're not supporting
oh my God. I'm going to totally.
Mindy Siegel just killed the restaurant industry. Workforce.
Yeah, she did it by herself. Wow. There wasn't any other factors. Wow.
Do you want to take that back?
No.
She's standing up on it.
And I'll tell you why.
Because you are a woman of your
convictions. People that are not qualified are in this industry because they think it's an easy industry.
Right.
And it's not true. And it's not. It's a hard industry. It's an industry where you have to either A, sell, B, cook.
Yep.
Anything.
Yeah.
Right. Hospitality industry is all about people. And if you don't like people, don't go in the industry.
Oh my God.
And if you have like certain quirks and idiosyncrasies and you're this and you're that, and it's all about you, how are you supposed to serve people and give people an experience?
So I read an interesting story on that note. A friend of mine who lives in New York was out to dinner the other night and had ordered a glass of wine. And it was like, at least 10 plus minutes, and her food had arrived, and she had eaten half of her meal, and she asked the server, you know, she's like, you know, I'm curious, like, is the wine coming? And she was like, it's only been 3 minutes, and she like brought her the ticket from, and my friend looked at her and said, it might only have been 3 minutes since you put it in, but it's been 10 plus minutes since I actually asked you for it.
I can't believe this was an argument that happened.
But it gets better. So at the end of the meal, the manager comes over, or somebody comes over, and they're chatting. It turns out to be one of the owners, and my friend explained this to the owner, and the owner said, "Yeah, she's like, that's just what it is with people in this generation. They just feel like they blah 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 blah." And I'm like, "But you're not reprimanding and disciplining your staff for treating your paying customers with disrespect."
But I understand what this person said, because the generation that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, let's not go down that road.
Okay.
But I'm just.
Well, I just like, I don't get people anymore. I don't get kids.
You can't stand up to them.
What's with the kids today?
What's with the kids today?
I don't get it.
Do you know what we should do instead of thinking about the kids today? We should talk about edibles.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids.
Easy edibles to deal with those kids.
Okay, but so you got into edibles. Like, I mean, rec wasn't legal here. And even though medical was, it was pretty risky for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Tell us when and how you started working with Cresco Labs, kind of what the landscape for edibles looked like at that point.
Tell that story. Yeah.
So when medicinal edibles became legal, I had a feeling that I was going to be approached by some people. And I was really excited for that offer. I had already started exploring the opportunity. And I got a message on my voicemail. And it was from David Ellis, who's the chief operating officer of Cresco. I think he was employee number one at Cresco. And he was like, you know, I'm David Ellis, and I'm working with this company called Cresco. And we're thinking about doing edibles, and we kind of wanted to partner with you. And I called him back. It was a Sunday at like 8:30 in the morning, and I called him back, and he actually picked up. And I was like, "Where have you? I've been waiting for you to call me. You to call me.
I knew this call.
I knew you.
I knew this call would come. Hello." And that was really the start of my relationship with Cresco.
And what year was that? 2015?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's been 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, but, yeah.
And you had to travel out of state, like, to do some of the R&D, right?
Yeah.
It was a weird sort of.
I mean, we went to Colorado, and, well, we had several trips to Colorado. But to, like, actually go and to be able to see a grow facility and then a dispensary and then, you know, be in a grow room, first of all. I mean, it, you know, and that to learn about the process was really cool.
Yeah.
So how did you come to a point where, well, give a little background for anybody who doesn't know. We mentioned earlier, Mindy has a line of edibles called Mindy's Edibles. There's chocolates, there are gummies.
Fruit chews, heart sweets, and then there's some baked goods.
And they're delicious. I'm going to say I've sampled a lot of them.
Yeah.
Had one the other day. Really enjoyed it. The new Mandarin.
Delicious. I ate one last night and I thought of you because you had just texted me. So I was like, I'll eat one.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is delicious.
It's delicious.
This is like, it tastes just like what it says it is.
Yeah. And I'm also very happy that you guys have moved away from the individual plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Okay. So give a little background on what this is and why you got excited to be involved in it.
What is?
The edibles? Yeah. Your line.
My line. Okay.
Tell us what edibles are.
Well, so originally, I'm like, I want to do brittles because I love making brittles and I've been making, whatever I'm doing, I wanted to do exactly what I do in my real life. I wanted to bring to edibles. I wanted to create a line that was really chef driven and not like chef driven in a chef driven in an approachable way.
Okay.
I wanted, you know, so many people, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. Well, I did this and I was this and I did that and I was this, you know? So, I wanted to be a face of edibles that made people feel comfortable knowing that it was true what I was giving you.
Yeah.
So if it was a 10 milligram chocolate, you know, it was 10 milligrams everywhere. And you know, whatever that means, I just wanted to create an experience for people that they could trust.
Yeah, because there's.
Well, there. I mean, you know, but
because we talked about when I talked to you a couple weeks ago, cutting it into 10 pieces silly. And praying.
Right.
And,
you know? So it's very, very difficult to create an edible. First of all, and it's very difficult to create an edible that's chef-driven. It's been challenging.
And why is it? What's difficult? I mean, obviously, well, there's several levels of
layers. I mean, it's, you're dealing with a highly regulated product, first and foremost. You're dealing with an expensive product to produce. Yeah. And then after that, you're dealing with flavor, and you're dealing with branding, and you're dealing with the cost structure, and you're dealing with state-by-state regulations. You're dealing with, you know, packaging and, you know, rules, laws, everything. So it's a very, it has a lot of layers to it. So for me to be able to create what I'm creating right now with a company that believes in me and is allowing me the freedom to express myself.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Mike, how lucky am I? How lucky am I? How best lucky
case
am
scenario.
I?
Best
how
case scenario.
How lucky am I?
Not to mention the fact this is a big retirement plan.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a big retirement
plan.
Think?
Have
no.
you not made a ton of money?
No, not yet. No, not yet. No, I'm not because...
I love you,
because
Ari.
the price...
True.
And the cost structure.
Right.
And all of the prof... You know, it's not as profitable as you think it is.
Right.
There's a lot of money that goes involved in it. There's a lot of people that are working on the brand. There's so many different... It's like, you know, launching a... like bubble gum, like a brand of bubble gum or a brand of candy. It's the same thing.
I do want to kind of take listeners in though, because there was this incredible process that you undertook with the Cresco Labs team where you brought them into the restaurant and had them taste through desserts to kind of understand. So can you maybe just walk us through one gummy flavor and kind of what inspired it?
Pick one. Because every mix, one
to me,
tells a
the
story.
Mixed berry is amazing because it's really kind of a journey.
Yeah. Flavor journey.
It's one of the new ones.
Mixed berry.
I've only had the mandarin.
The clementine.
Yeah.
Candied clementine or glazed clementine.
Yes.
Because you can't say candied. That's the thing. There's so many restrictions.
Oh my God.
So it's like you can't say you can't say hard candy.
Yeah, because
nothing candy.
Oh yeah, you've
in
been.
It.
It's funny. That's the only time I've ever heard you say it almost like with a rhythm. It's like hard sweets, fruit.
Well, the thing like is that you because you have to.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. But can you tell?
And I've been trained.
Well trained. Yes. Can you tell us the process of making these components that went into the mixed berry? It's super complicated.
Let's talk about mixed berry. So. This is how we work on the process. So, you know, we've reiterated the line a couple of times.
Yeah.
And when we decided to create the line a little bit more high end and a little bit more like my personality, I started writing down, you know, this is what we do. They say to me, okay, we're going to have six core flavors. So we need you to come up with whatever you come up with. So I usually come up with like 20.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot more than that, and I have to dwindle it down. So I started thinking about a story and how I am sort of inspired by fruit. And so I took myself back to the first time I went to the Santa Monica Farmers Market, and I had like Harry's Berries. Mm, and,
that's so good.
You know, we don't know what a strawberry is until you go to the Santa Monica Farmers Market and have a Harry's Berries strawberry or a Chino Farm strawberry.
Yeah.
So, you know, you bite into it and it's like burgundy inside.
Yeah.
Or you have a Persian mulberry for your first time. Or you have like all these different, like a huckleberry,
yeah,
a fresh huckleberry.
Or like in blood orange, that's like a real one.
Yeah, but we're not talking about blood oranges. We're talking about berries.
Mixed berries.
Yeah. I'll show myself out.
Yeah, but yes, true that. Okay. So I wanted to create this flavor that was, oh, strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, huckleberry, Persian mulberry.
Blackberry.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to be just like that. So, you know, that's where we started.
Yeah.
And they're all very similar. That's how the process started. So, like, now when we do ideation, I sit the team down at a table very similar to this long table. And I create desserts for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's crazy because for me, the idea is to make all these separate preserves of each of the fruits and then combine the preserves together to create another thing. So you're taking them on a progression.
Yeah.
So they'll start out with the strawberry preserve, this thing, and it's made, you know, I infuse it with stuff. You know, it's so complicated.
Yeah. I know, I remember you saying it was like, it's like strawberry and rooibos tea.
Yeah,
and
the fields of France.
Yeah, raspberry, yeah. And I think and red wine.
Yeah,
and,
you.
Oh yeah, and then you, and then a it was quiz. Like you made shortbread out of that.
Yeah, shortbread out of the sugar. Yeah, and then so it's like there's so much going into it.
So that I just heard this. This is the only reason I'm reciting it back.
How long is the entire process?
Oh, it takes a couple of months to get the right flavors, and so then once you know I create these desserts, then we have a food scientist that's working for Cresco, Stephanie, and she's amazing. And then she'll go into the lab and she'll start creating these flavors from natural flavors and their concoctions. And I say to her, okay, so like key lime kiwi should have just a hint of banana, just a hint. And this should have, you know, the glazed clementine should have a little pith in the back of your mouth. Hmm. The grapefruit should have botanical gin flavor in the back. You know, so
I'm like
the
melon, starting to, you know, dance in my
so
seat.
So it's just,
it's
like,
so good.
So it's so like fun. All of this is, and then she'll have me taste what she comes up with, and I'll say, okay, yes, but here. Yes, but this. Tweak this, tweak this. And we go back and forth. And we come up with our flavors.
That's
and
so
now
fun.
We're
so
in, fun. We're sort of in this process with the fruit chews.
Okay.
So.
So with the
and
so,
they are, woo, they're good. They are so.
Are
good.
You adding new flavors for those?
Yeah, we have all new flavors.
When do those come out?
As soon as I get the final tasting, which
were
I
you
haven't
going?
Yet.
Okay. Were you going for like creamsicle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm so.
So like
about
like
those.
Cherry cordial.
Oof.
Mango passion fruit lassie.
Yes, please.
Chocolate malt.
Yes.
Wow.
Banana cream pie.
Too fancy.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Listen, I don't know anything about this world. This is why I love being on this show. So like the last like 5 minutes, you notice I haven't said anything. My mouth has been open. That's because I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
You can do that?
He's just been sitting there quietly with his mouth open.
Yeah. And they're good.
So going back to the mixed berry, you started with the 7 different berries.
Or whatever,
Are all of them in it still? And
like, yeah.
And so is there any one flavor that is dominant, or do they all really blend?
I don't think so.
It just explodes on your mouth like this bright, juicy berry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you get hints of it all.
You do. And there's it's even so little, good. Like, you can kind of taste a little wine. I mean, to me,
it tastes like everything.
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah.
And it's that journey of, like, thinking about the components and then...
Yeah, so the most important thing about the edibles and the edible process is this flavor journey that I take everybody that works for the company.
And I think anyone who buys them needs to know that this is what it comes from.
It's just like there's so much that goes into one flavor, and there's so much passion. It's like I'm almost like trying to sell you on the flavor.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm trying to tell you, you need to try this. Because I remember the day that we tasted all the, and they weren't medicated, by
right,
the way.
Because I had
But remember, they were all, and then, did you tell me, did you have pith on your mouth
I did.
All day?
I did. It
I know.
Stayed.
And
it
I was
lingered.
Like, oh my God, this is so cool.
I know.
Okay, so I bought, because I've been having lower back pain. So the other day,
right, okay.
I bought, no, for real. I bought,
because
I bought the cherry lime. 15-1
yeah,
high
those
CBD.
Those are old ones.
Did you see he was covering his ass though?
Leaves, like it leaves a lingering,
like lime flavor.
Something. It's like it's really strong.
Yeah, I haven't eaten them in a long time.
To me, the zest, like the grapefruit too, with the
good.
That zest. That,
yeah. I had that one at the party, and it was like I was like, oh shit, this
yeah,
was like,
tasty.
Yeah. Well, it's also like this is like actual grapefruit and not grapefruit flavor.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
More like orange flavor.
Right? That's how I felt with the cherry. Also, clearly we like these.
They're so delicious.
Well done.
And they're microdosed.
Yes. And so, and I think you also have to talk about the this like distillation that they're doing, because because people think that things taste like weed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you only grew up eating space cake or you know anything like that, you're just assuming it's going to taste a little bit like fruit and a lot like weed.
Seems
and
like this sort of expensive investment they've made.
First and foremost, we use clear distillate, which is it's once you have the winterized oil, we take it a step further and we heat it up to a different temperature, which then takes away all the flavor and it's just straight THC is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, there's two sides of the coin. Some people say they like a little bit of a flavor.
It's and like then, terpenes or whatever.
Yeah. So just to let you know, there's two gummies that have CBD in them and those have a flavor. And the reason why they have a flavor is because of the CBD. So just FYI.
Okay.
But one of the things that I can say, like, you know, there are definitely a lot of edibles on the market that taste weedy, which is like, it's
weedy.
Not delicious. But one thing that I could say about yours is they don't taste weedy, and they taste like if somebody were to go to your restaurant and go to your bakery and get a brittle or a cookie or a chocolate or whatever, that's what your edibles taste like.
Yes.
And that's why
that's the goal.
I have to remind myself that I can only have...
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're microdosing now
Yeah.
is because we want people to eat more than one.
Yeah.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
I know, but...
True that.
Can I just ask you like a nerdy question?
Yes.
How do you make really good weed butter?
Oh, my God.
Well... You can use that can of butter machine and you can cook it properly, but that's just like using a crock pot or a slow cooker, whatever those contraptions are.
Me too.
So that's the best way to cook butter, but you can also do it, like I said, in a slow cooker, which I recommend.
Okay.
And it's just like slowly infusing it
and
not heating it on high to get like over 250. And then, because you don't want that, because that converts. I'm not going to get into the nerdiness of it, because I'm not a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a connoisseur.
An enthusiast.
An enthusiast.
Yeah. Yes.
An aficionado.
But my suggestion for people that want to make, like, can of butter is to consult experts that know more about it and more technical, scientific.
Yeah, because that's one that... can get wrong
very quickly.
You can get it wrong. You
very
can get it
quickly.
Wrong, and we all have stories
yes.
about getting it wrong.
Not fun.
Or you know, yeah. I mean, you can you know.
Okay. So other than hot chocolate's rolling along, edibles are happening.
Yeah.
What's next?
Bakery happening.
Where?
Well, I have a bakery at Revival.
At Revival.
Oh right. Sorry, I was thinking that you're doing a new one.
And United Center.
Right.
And I am doing more of those.
Okay. Oh, you
Ooh,
are.
Yay.
I am.
like, is there a timeline? Are they popping up around the country?
No. I'm not telling you. Ooh. I can't talk about it.
No.
But I am opening up more hot chocolate bakeries.
Oh, that's
really?
Awesome. Yeah. That's my
exciting.
Future.
That's so
my
fun.
Future is bakeries.
And
finally, after 35 years of proving myself, I can finally open up more bakeries.
But
smaller.
Funny like, how that happens.
Like smaller.
It just took us a couple days.
Smaller footprint, standalone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm opening up a series of several all over.
Bakeries are.
It's
hard.
Not going to be a chain, but you will see them places.
Okay. Are you adding any new products? Like, are you venturing in any new directions or anything?
Yes. Do you want me to talk? Do you? Are you trying to get somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I want.
AKA bagels.
Yes.
Oh, thank God! Yay! That's all I've been wanting to ask. Yeah. There was that little time when I lived super close to hot chocolate, and you were doing the bagels.
I still do the bagels, we're gonna focus on. What I would say is Eastern European influenced pastry.
Oh,
alrighty.
Hamantaschen.
Hamantaschen.
Yes.
I made them for the first time.
Rugula. Happy Purim, by the way.
Yeah, Happy Purim. Oh, is it Purim?
Wow. Right now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't know. I'm
how
really
did they turn out?
I'm the worst Jew.
I only know that. I only know that because my converted husband told me yesterday.
Oh, isn't it funny how converted Jews are better Jews than
they're
regular Jews?
Stricter Jews.
Yeah. True, because they're so into it. Yeah.
I love your bagels.
Yeah, I make great bagels.
They're
thank
magical.
You. What, thank you.
What makes your bagel? I don't know if I've ever had one of your
oh,
bagels.
Oh, they're so
what?
Good.
Yeah. I'm down. Yeah, I haven't. I definitely haven't. I'm very excited
maybe
about it.
Maybe we should go get some after this.
Oh, I'm like ridiculously upset at you guys.
I didn't know it existed.
Yeah. So, magic. Well, we sell out every day at the bakery. They're sourdough bagels.
Mm. Okay.
They get better over time.
Ugh.
They're almost, I would say, naturally leavened. So that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're delicious. I figured out the recipe.
Do they follow like a New York bagel style or?
No, but I have made my bagels in New York because I said Bo is the pastry chef at my bakery, and I said to him, if we're gonna have the nerve to say we make great bagels, we have to go to New York and make bagels in New York.
Just to
see if they're good.
Yeah.
So we did.
And did everybody love them?
They were delicious.
I think I like your bagels more than I like New York style. Like that.
No, they're delicious. They're different. They're in their own category.
Yes.
They're very crispy on the outside, I guess, texture. And chewy on the inside.
So like a good sandwich bagel?
They're great.
Oh,
yeah, they're
good
delicious. They're just really good. They're,
how many different flavors do you do?
We make a lot.
Okay.
We make multiple, multiple different bagels.
If you can get them,
yeah. But you'll have more outlets for my bagels in the future.
Yay.
Put it that way.
Okay, so do you want to move on or should we?
Yeah,
yeah we probably should because now otherwise we'll just stay here all day,
yeah.
Which is fine with me. But.
Okay, so the last segment that has the spotlight on you before we go into Sip This is called Short Order. It is a quick fire round. Don't think too hard. First answer that comes to your mind. We have a series of questions. First one is, what would you be doing if you weren't a pastry chef, cannabis chef, and restaurant owner? Sorry, pastry artist, Maggie wrote.
Mm, that feels more right.
I would probably be a florist. Even
you could
though
work
I know
with
nothing. Yeah, I could work with Heather. Probably. Or really, this is my stock answer. I'd be a really great housewife.
I'm gonna refute that right now. And say you would not.
I would be awful.
You probably throw really good parties though.
Yeah.
Really good parties.
Yeah, sure.
I do throw good parties. I cook all the time at home and I have people over all the time.
I love that.
Bowls
Ernest and I will be inviting ourselves.
Yeah, you guys
have
to come over.
Yeah.
You guys have to come over. Oh, you have to come over.
I'm down. Yeah. Say less.
Can,
I'm here.
Ernest will come in and say, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having
me. We can hang out. We can dance to Miguel.
Okay. Yeah. Say less.
Yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yes.
I'm there.
Dance party.
Dance party.
Next question. Who is your hero?
My mom. Mm.
Cheryl.
Cheryl's.
How's she doing?
She's the best.
Yeah.
My mother's the best.
Ugh. How old is she?
80.
Oh, mom.
Crazy,
she's about to be 80.
So is my mom.
Yeah. 80.
Shout out
and
to
you
mom.
She's
shout
just,
out to
I mean,
moms.
Shout out. I mean, love you.
Cheers. Okay, what did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing. I haven't eaten yet. Coffee? Yeah.
Are you not, you don't do breakfast?
No.
Are you a milk or a cream or a nothing?
Half and half.
Half and half.
Simple syrup.
Mm.
Love that.
I do agave.
And every once in a while, I do like agave. Yeah. Every once in a while, I put a little Ovaltine in my coffee.
Ooh. Whoa.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, my God. It's like,
guys.
It's like Cloris Leachman.
I legitimately forgot about Ovaltine until you just said that. That's crazy.
So, it is, you got, it's so good.
You guys.
You have to try it.
Ovaltine.
Name the movie. Name it.
I don't know.
Is it Young Frankenstein?
I've never seen that movie.
I've never seen it either.
Yeah, I've never. Like,
wait, hold
Gene
on.
Wilder?
I saw Blazing Saddles. Yeah. I thought that was literally the Mel Brooks movie.
Have you recently watched
Mel Brooks?
Young Frankenstein is one of my favorite all-time movies.
It's great.
We're having a viewing.
Okay.
We're going to get some.
Sounds good.
Mindy's edibles.
All right.
On that note, what movie will you always watch if you stumble upon it while flipping through channels?
Easy. It's complicated.
Really?
Wow.
Wait, is that Meryl Streep?
Wow. Shout out to Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Shout out to
just
Meryl.
Just out here.
I'm she so doesn't get embarrassed, but I don't care.
That's yeah.
I want to live in her house.
Right.
I want to have her bakery. I want to be her.
Oh, that's
all right.
Love her.
It's an aspirational watch.
I like that.
I mean, I just that was a guilty pleasure that I just told everybody.
No, it's great.
That's a great
now
one.
Now everybody knows.
What is your life motto, if you have one?
I wake up, okay, so you have to wake up every day and you have to say to yourself, what kind thing can I do today?
Oh, that's nice.
How can I be a leader every day?
I love that.
How can
that's
I do
beautiful.
The right thing?
I love that. Too.
Take the right path.
What song will make you stop whatever you're doing and dance or at least kind of pop your head?
Nonstop, Drake.
Classic. Ooh. Yes. Fantastic. Great pick.
Yeah.
Great pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your last request meal? No limitations.
Lox and bagels.
Oh, your
straight
own
up.
Bagels?
Huh?
Your
doesn't
own
matter.
Okay.
But yeah, they would have to be fresh bagels.
And what would you Nova. Have for dessert?
I like it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nova for sure, but I do like belly, a little belly. Mm. And I do like a little sturgeon.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Smoked. And what are you having for dessert your last night?
Shit. That's not fair.
Sorry.
I'm having, side by side
ice cream?
Side by side. Peanut butter cookie dough and strawberry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so, you guys.
I can't wait.
You guys. Okay, this one too, I'm excited about. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Mm.
Absolutely.
That's like.
Fun fact, every episode of this show has been fuck except for one, which was like asshole or something like
someone
that.
Someone said.
I feel like there were a few that were.
Somebody
not.
Said shit and
someone
somebody said asshole.
Someone said shit and someone said asshole.
No, fuck. I say fuck. It's.
.com.
I think Rob Levitt was really funny when he was like, wait, can I say that?
That's why we asked it to you.
It's funny because people get demure momentarily. Like clutch the pearls. Yeah.
Jennifer Kim did.
Yeah. It's really cute.
Minnie was like, nah, I'll say that shit. What's up?
Fuck.
Okay, we're going to take a pause. We're going to get set up for Sip This, and we will be back in 1 second.
Mm.
We've come to the final segment of our show. It's called Sip This. We do it every week, and every week we bring something in to drink, to try. It could be a beer, a wine, a cider, a cocktail, canned wine. This week we're doing canned cocktails, which have become pretty popular, canned beverages, etc. Not all of them are good. Some of them are very bad. We're going to find out if these are good. So we have Dashfire. Ernest just popped his little can. Dashfire, which is a Minnesota-based company known for making pretty delicious bitters. They got into the canned cocktail game, and we're going to taste through a few of these.
Do we say if it's bad?
Yes.
You got to be honest.
Say whatever's in your heart.
I'm still giving the intro.
Okay. Sorry, Ari.
Okay, so Dashfire has 600 milliliter, six varieties of 100 milliter canned cocktails.
They're very cute.
Little mini cans. All featuring their bitters. There's lemon and lavender vodka martini, old fashioned with bourbon, a pomegranate El Presidente with rum, liqueur, vermouth and grenadine, a white Russian with vodka, chai and cream, elderflower gin martinez, and a rye Manhattan. They're currently available in about 12 states. I think you can order them online as well. So each of us has our own little can.
One of the states is Illinois.
One is Illinois. And so we each have our own. I'm doing the bourbon.
I get why they're so small. They are potent.
Yeah, well, there's 38%.
They smell like a kick in the mouth.
Yeah,
Jesus
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
This is almost like a shot.
It's like it's like taking a not
an artisan shot.
An artisanal shot. Yeah. An artisanal
you know what
shot.
I would do? I would pour it over ice.
Yes. Probably. Like across the board, I'm guessing.
And I mean, the bourbon one, it smells great. I haven't tasted it yet. Ernest just had a sip of his...
Well,
well, I'm drunk.
Yeah, like for real. Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely, though, I will say, festival season is among us, hopefully. And
wow,
yeah,
this is delicious.
Mine is good, but it just has a punch. Yeah. How about that?
Mine is.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to drink when I'm at festivals.
Really?
No, I like to smoke weed.
I respect that.
I just don't.
It dries you out. You're dehydrated. Yeah.
I like to just drink like a tall can of shit beer.
I'm going to crush. Yeah. I'm good for like 2 or 3 Bud Lights.
Yeah. That's what I'm.
Just run through. Yeah. That's water.
I'd rather not drink the calories.
Plastic bottle of rosé.
I would not say no to rosé.
Yeah. I don't like getting drunk.
This has chest burn. That's I'm fair. Not going to lie.
Yes.
My chest is burning.
I'm drinking the Manhattan and it's delicious.
Yeah. No, this is like,
good.
I'm drinking the Living in Labrador Martini cocktail and it's very good. It's just very alcohol forward.
Old fashioned is really yummy. It's got
this
like
is delicious. I actually like it.
The bitters. It's got like a really nice spice. There's like some cherry and vanilla.
I like it.
Yeah.
You're not like yours.
I don't love mine. I'm having the Martinez with gin, sherry, elderflower liqueur, and bitters. It's just like a little weird sweetness. I think it's probably not the right temperature. It's like probably a little warmer than it should be. I think this one should be pretty cold.
I also think that drinking out of a can is weird. I just don't get it. I mean, I get like a High Life in a can.
Do you know what? Maybe if I were drinking this out of a chilled coupe, as it suggests, I would be having a more positive experience. I also feel that I am not the market for this product.
No, it is,
and I'm okay
with
that.
The branding is really nice.
It's pretty. If it was the only thing that I could drink.
Yeah, if I didn't have it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're the market when desperate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no.
Like I might have one of these going to a concert.
I don't dislike.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I don't dislike it.
I think
but
the ice and
to add it into glassware makes more sense. It's like they're taking the work.
Smell this.
They're doing the work for you, so like you don't have to like have all the ingredients at home, and like you come home from work,
right?
You just
because
really want your
everything
cocktail.
Right now is about being lazy.
Do you know what I would do? Maybe if I were to drink one of these, I would go for the brown liquor, like strong, like
the Manhattan's delicious
because that's like
Look. I'm wiping
sanitizing
this because it's really good.
Because I think that this for me more is like if it's a strong brown drink with a little bitters, I'm more likely.
You're like
where they're going for like any subtlety, I'm not. I don't.
You're gonna like this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd go for that.
Winner. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we learned something.
All right, I'm into it.
Tissue.
Yeah.
So, what are our feelings generally?
I don't think it's bad.
I'm here for it. I just don't think I'm necessarily the target demographic
I feel that way too.
Right. Like I'm sure. This is something that people, you're going out. This is a pregame cocktail, maybe.
See?
But like, yeah.
Yeah, the Martinez, I don't like.
I almost think.
Maybe cold, but.
That this is for people that want to get drunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
It totally is.
Like, you're trying to get
You're trying to get lit.
Yes.
Yes.
And you will.
It's a shot. It's a shot.
It'll get you.
It's a big ass shot.
It'll get you where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
on that note,
well, you guys, we are so happy to be back. We've missed you. This is our first episode of season 2 of The Overserved. We have Mindy fucking Seeger.
I know.
With
what
us.
An opener. Thank
Shout
you.
Out to Mindy.
Yeah, Mindy.
Thank you.
Mindy,
it was nice.
We've known each other for a long time.
Long time.
And we've had many conversations, both professional and personal.
I know.
This has been just an honor to have you here.
I
with
adore
us.
You.
It's
yeah,
really
I adore
an
you
honor.
Too.
I like you all. You guys are all awesome.
Thank you.
So
you guys are
you.
Great. I've never met you before.
I never met you either.
You're very cool.
This is cool. You hear that first, folks. When single said I was
but
cool. Deal with it.
Now that you know me, next time you go to a party, you have to.
Oh, I'm calling you.
Yeah.
You're my plus one.
Yeah, thank you.
I just have to say quickly, because yesterday was International Women's Day, as a woman of age 35, one of the things I really love and admire about you that
you're talking about me.
Yes, is that you have an incredible way of being humble but also knowing when you kill it and knowing that you're good. And I think a lot of women shy away from that element and I'm getting. But I think it's important to be confident in what you bring and And you don't do it with arrogance. It's a really beautiful balance that you...
Thank you.
Yeah, and I admire it. And
I appreciate that. That's really women awesome.
We need more of that energy, so...
We just need more positive everything.
Yes, agreed. More joy.
Support and equal everything.
Yes.
And just smile at somebody today. If you're listening to this, go out and smile at someone and be nice.
Honestly, don't be a creep about it, though.
Right. You know, it's funny. Just one more thing. My business partner and I always talk about that it's just easier to be nice.
It is. You're right.
And it's you... When you're nice and you smile at people, people respond to you better.
Yeah.
And you might change the trajectory of their entire day.
Yeah.
100%.
So.
Or maybe if they're a cantankerous asshole, you won't. But you'll at least feel pretty good.
You know what I like about that? Hmm. Cantankerous assholes. Thank you. That was hard to say. I always like to make cantankerous assholes smile.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It happens. You can do it.
It can.
You can do it.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Overserved, and you will hear us next time.
Look, I just flipped the switch. Flip. I don't know nobody else that's doing this. Bodies start to drop, ayy. They wanna know me since I hit the top. Hey, this a rollie, not a stop. Watch, don't ever stop.